All right, yesterday, a big game for Michigan State. What felt like about 5 minutes after they played Michigan before, they were playing them again. Only this time, a different outcome, and it may have punched a ticket into the NCAA tournament. Tom Izzo, the coach of the Spartans, on the line with us right now. Hello, Tom.
How you doing, Mitch? Kenny, weird game when you think about what you just said, because it did seem like 5 minutes.
Has that ever happened in the history of Michigan-Michigan State rivalry that you played back-to-back games?
Not since I've been here. I think I might have played somebody like Purdue back-to-back once, because we used to go, you know, like 1-9 and then 9-1, you know, when you played it back there when we had a total round robin, I think when I was maybe a GA or something. But I don't even think then it might have happened once, but never Michigan, Michigan State. And that's, you know, I mean, it's okay, but it's, I don't think either one of us loved it, you know.
No. It was fun for the fans, because with the state being sort of divided, half Michigan, half Michigan State, it didn't take long for the revenge factor to get in. And so everybody was happy over the course of 4 or 5 days. Everybody was upset and everybody was happy, which is what sports should be.
Yeah, I think that's why people, you know, the rivalry means even more in football, because once you win, you're a 360-day,
right,
you know, winner. Where, you know, really, the worst part of it is if we win Thursday, we're going to play them again. So that'll be Friday. That'll be 8 days, three times. And their last three games would be against us. You know,
that's right.
That's right. We could win.
It's like scrimmaging against one another.
NBA playoffs, man. Best out of seven.
Well, it was a big win because Michigan, you know, look, they have an amazing program. They were 19-2 coming in. They'd only lost twice. You know, they've done a great job. Juwan Howard's done a great job there. Were you confident of a win, given how big a blowout the first game was?
Well, you know, I wasn't confident, but I felt okay, because it was a pretty good game until right before half. Aaron Henry gets that goofy foul, and we could have cut it to 3, and it ends up 11 at halftime, and then we cut it down a little bit. I mean, I don't think it was really more than a 19-point game, but it really was not, I didn't think, you know, that we couldn't play with them, but I can't say I felt confident or comfortable, that's for sure. They're good. They have a good team. They've had a hell of a year. They deserve a number one seed. All those things that has happened, it's been remarkable. Mm.
You know, I know it's not generally your place to comment on other teams' programs or anything like that, but when Juwan Howard, who you know, coached against when he was part of the Fab Five, can you say anything about the job that he's done there, given that he had no head coaching experience before he came in? Was that a surprise to you? Do you know him off the court enough to know that it wasn't a surprise?
You know, I recruited Juwan a little bit, believe it or not, way back in the late 80s. So I've kind of known him throughout. And, you know, I think he had a great experience at Miami, you know, with Pat Riley and Spoelstra. I mean, it's, you know, I think that helped him. And then, of course, last year he got his feet wet. And, you know, I think you got to give a lot of people credit there. I think his assistants have done a good job. I think Juwan's done a good job. I think some of those guys from the John Beilein era, you know, have been really good. And, of course, then you get a super freshman and you get a transfer in there. And but I think Juwan has done a great job with that program and with that team. And you don't go 19-2 or whatever they are now, 3, with just because you got good players. They're not that good of players where you can just go 19-3, you know, and I think he's coached them.
Hey, Tom, now that the season's over, was it harder than you thought it was going to be, the COVID season, or it went relatively smoother than you thought? And I know it's not over, but the regular season is, at least.
You know, Kenny, it was the hardest year I've been through, and not because, you know, we were one of the teams that, you know, had 4 or 5 guys get it in the middle of the year, and two or three of them were guys that were either starting or in the playing group. And, That part was really difficult. You know, the pandemic itself, it was hard to figure out how to push people and not. I thought we had a big loss early in the year that really screwed us up, and we had that Purdue game all but won. And then, you know, 4 days later, we go into the virus protocol, and having guys that had it, you know, like Langford and Brown and Sissoko, I mean, especially Langford and Brown, I mean, that was – it wasn't just the 17 days they were out. It affects you for a lot longer than that. And then me, I didn't know how hard to push him, not to push him, not really my cup of tea. You know, I really don't usually care. And I actually had to be a little, you know, I had to use psychological thinking, which for a youper isn't real easy. So I learned a little bit as I went. You know, I did rely on, I spent a lot more, I always spent a lot of time, but I spent more time. You know, I was worried about how they were in their apartments and how, you know, what they're going through. So I think it was more difficult because we've never been through anything like this, probably like you guys. You know, it's just it's just a strange phenomenon.
Well, I mean, you're not alone. I mean, look at the storied programs that are just having their worst years ever. Duke might not make the tournament at all, you know, and I just think
won't.
Yeah, there's so many, so many historically great programs. So I think it can't just be what happened in East Lansing. It's all about what happened in America, and everybody was apple carts was still upset. But now you find yourself in a position of, especially if you do well in the tournament, of making the tournament and the big tournament. And who knows? This has got to be a wide open tournament this year. And so do you think, first of all, given the fact that you've beaten three top five teams now, nobody else has done that. Nobody's done that in a long time, that should punch your ticket to the tournament no matter what happens in the Big Ten tournament?
Well, it's easy for me to say 100%, and I only say that because we've won five out of seven. We've beaten, you know, some really good teams. We played, I think our schedule's ranked fifth. You know, it's... And then we've been through the pandemic. I mean, we've been through the virus, you know, which, you know, sometimes you get an injury or two during the year. That's taken into account. With the virus, it doesn't seem like anybody looks at it the same way. But, I mean, you know, you probably lose Langford for 30 days, you know, by the time he got back to normal. I said a good example is at Purdue, the Sasha kid, that their best shooter, you know, he was out 17. For the next four games, he didn't score a basket. He's one of the best shooters in the league. And so it affects everybody differently. It's excuse, it's this. But I think, you know, we play in the toughest conference. There's nobody argues that. If this conference doesn't get 9 or 10 teams in, I think it's an insult to the conference and to the powerhouses in the conference, which right now is Illinois and Michigan and Iowa and Ohio State and, you know, Wisconsin and Purdue are right on their heels. And you know, that's why I think the conference itself deserves teams in. But you know what? The weird year, I don't feel comfortable with anything, right. But I do feel like we've earned the right to be in it. But that's, you know what? My mom and dad, well, my dad's dead. My mom's not on the committee. My uncle Guido's not on the committee, so who the hell knows what's going to happen.
Okay. Yeah, support. If only Uncle Guido was on the committee, you'd be all set.
Hey, Mitch, can I ask Coach about youper psychology for a moment?
Yeah, go ahead, Rosie.
Coach, so there's many, many ways, I think, to motivate players. I think you're the master of it. Did you expect the response you got from Rocket Watts you got yesterday by not starting him?
You know, Rock's an interesting kid. He's really a great kid. It's just, you know, I mean, so many guys go through that. It's just that he's at a position, you know, when you have your quarterback in that vulnerable position. And I still say I took all the blame and still do. You know, I put him in a position that wasn't really right for him at the time. If we would have had the spring, summer, fall and exhibition games and four or five other games, he would have been fine. As he's starting to mature into it now, but I can't blame him for that. What I can blame him for is you got to spend a little more time to figure out what you got to do for not only our team, but for himself and his future. So, you know, I just, I don't look at those things like some people. I don't look at the Aaron Henry finger wagging as anything It's Upper's way of teaching.
Well, it
you
worked.
Know, everybody does it differently, you know. I just haven't seen, you know, whether it be Belichick or Saban or Bo Schembechler or John Thompson, I haven't seen the would you please work harder method work. You know, pretty please would you work harder. I just never seen it work. So I don't know why everybody's so surprised. If you look at people that have sustained excellence, there's a lot of roadkill. It's not easy. And I was proud of Rocket for how he responded. You know, was I positive? Not the first 2 days after, but the morning of the game, the shoot around, he was absolutely at a different level. And just got out of a meeting with him a little while ago to try to figure out, you know, you got to learn me, I got to learn you. You know, that's part of this process.
Yeah, he was a difference maker. It was really incredible.
Okay, Rosie, your analysis moments are over. Okay, we're moving on.
Yeah.
Thanks, Rosie.
No more psychological Upper stuff, Rosie.
Tom, thanks for spending time with us. Good luck in this tournament. And I, for one, am really hoping you win your first game because I want to see 3 Michigan games in a row. I just love that.
Thanks, I
want to be part of history. Oh, well, yeah, you might not like it, but let's face it. If you win that one, you're definitely in. So we're gonna pull Thursday, right?
I thought you'd put us in already. I mean, you're not like
I did.
I got
you're
you.
In. Look, with me, you're always in. You're in on the first day.
Hey, Mitch Albom's as good as Uncle Guido for me.
There you go.
Mitch
except I don't pack heat. Yeah. Tom, always great to talk to you. All see you right, later. So